Well, good morning once again, brethren. It is great to see everyone here this morning. For those that joined us in the Bible class hour, thank you for sticking around for worship. And many new faces, we welcome you, and we're so thankful that to have everyone here with us this morning. And so as we talked about, as we just read in the scripture, that we pray that God would open a door for us, right? We pray, in Paul's particular case, he asked the people to pray to open a door for them. But in our case, I think that's something we should also be praying for as well, right? That we should be praying that God open a door for us so that we can make known to the mystery to those that don't know it. And brethren, I believe that God is opening a door for us now, and that we have an opportunity right now to go through that door which the Lord is opening for us. So, we're going to talk about the time is now. The time is not yesterday or it's not tomorrow, but the time is now for us to go through that door which the Lord has opened. And so we talked about the work that we're doing thousands of miles away in the Bible class hour, but now I'd like to talk about the work some 9,000 miles or so back home, right here in Enid, Oklahoma. And I want us to focus not on the international mission in this hour, but on our mission right here, our local mission in our own community. Our mission in our own neighborhoods, our mission in our own districts, our missions in our schools and our community. And I want us to ask ourselves, am I doing enough to help with the mission of the Lord's church right here in Eden, Oklahoma? So first I want us to go to a quick story that I think we're all familiar with, Acts chapter 8. The story of Philip and the eunuch, I'm sure we all know it pretty well. And I want us to start reading in verse 26, Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And so we know the story that Philip is told by this angel of the Lord to go down to this place. He doesn't yet know why he's going there, but he goes, right? He goes because that's what the angel of the Lord told him to do. And when we come up to him later, we see why. He says that there was a man of Ethiopia, right? And he was reading what? He was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And then the Lord says, the Spirit says, go overtake him. And he wants him to teach this man and further explain what he's reading about in the book of Isaiah. And now I want you to read verse 30. Look at verse 30, Acts chapter 8 and 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" So I want you to notice here, when the Spirit told Philip to go, how did Philip respond? Did he kind of just drag his feet, kind of slow, right? Did he just kind of dilly-dally and say, "Oh, I've got a few errands to run first, you know, I got to do some other things"? How did he respond? He ran, right? He didn't just walk. He recognized this is an opportunity. This is something that the Lord wants me to do. And Philip ran to go meet this eunuch riding his chariot. He didn't delay. He recognized this opportunity and he wanted to capitalize on this opportunity that he was being given. And brethren, I want to tell you that right now we are facing an opportunity that we haven't had in a very long time. I know in the last decade, the last number of years, I'm sure you all have seen the statistics as well, that the number of Christians just seems to be going down, right? That especially maybe the number of people in the Lord's church, those statistics are not looking good for the past decade or so, and those plots, if you've seen them, are going down. But I tell you what, in the last year or two, there's been some evidence, some new studies, that's actually showing that that is changing. That we're at a rebound point at this time in history, and we have the potential to make that go back up. There have been certain events in the last couple of years where that has spurred people back to church. People like this woman here. And if you've seen on social media, people like this woman have said, you know, I went to church today, and this was the first time in 20 years that I stepped foot in a church building. You see people like this all over the place, especially after unfortunate circumstances like the death of Charlie Kirk about a year or so ago. These types of posts were everywhere of people searching and wanting to come back to the Lord. We see searches like if you look at the Google Analytics and searching Google topics and things, searches like Christian worship, that is up 2,800%. That is a 2,800% increase in people searching for topics like this. Additionally, if you look at the Google Analytics for things like, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about, you know, it doesn't really matter what topic it is. What does the Bible say about manifestation, about immigration? What does the Bible say about drunkenness, being lazy? All of these, what's interesting is all this says breakout. Breakout means that it is growing by over 5,000%. A 5,000% growth in people looking for these phrases. And then here, what does the Bible say about tattoos? What does the Bible say about when life begins? These are 4,200% or 3,850% increase into what things were in the recent past. And so what does this mean? This means people are searching, right? People are searching. They're searching for the truth. They're searching for the Bible. And this means that we have an opportunity to try to help people to find the things that they're searching for, to help to guide them through, to guide them into the truth, to guide them into the knowledge which they are searching for. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 through chapter 6. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time when we need to be capitalizing on these things, when we need to be seeking out these people that are searching for these very things in the Bible that we all know and love and we follow and do our due diligence to follow as closely as we can. Now is the time, today is the day of salvation, to try to further the gospel of Jesus Christ in our community. I want you to think to yourself, how many of us in this auditorium have a friend, a neighbor, a loved one, or some other acquaintance who is not yet a Christian, but you would like to see them become a Christian? And of those people that you're thinking of right now, how many of these people are ones that you know that you have not yet tried to share the gospel with those people yet? And if you're like me, there's a few that come to mind. Maybe for you, maybe it's the neighbor across the street that you've known this neighbor for years. You have a good relationship with them. You see them and you wave to them, or you see them mowing their lawn, or you talk to them a number of times throughout the week. But you just have not yet tried to have a spiritual conversation with that person yet. Or maybe it's someone at your child's school. Maybe you're dropping your child off at school. Maybe it's the crossing guard or something. And you go and you walk your child across the street and the crossing guard's there every single day. And you talk to the crossing guard consistently every day, and you have a good relationship with them. but you haven't yet tried to make the intentional, be intentional about starting a spiritual conversation with that person yet. Maybe you go to the bank. Maybe you go to the grocery store. Maybe you've had the same cashier at the grocery store for the past 5 years. They know you by name. They know you by milk every Monday. They know you by cheese every Friday, whatever it is. They know everything about you, but you still haven't started a spiritual conversation with that person. Dare I say, all these people are people that we care about. These people that I mentioned or that I'm thinking of are people that I care about. But I just haven't found it within myself to start the conversation with those people. And so I want to encourage us all with 3 points this morning. 3 points that I hope will encourage myself as well as all of you to try to start the conversation with people such as these. In order to best win souls for Christ, I must. These are these I must statements. We're going to look at 3 I must statements this morning. In order to best win souls for Christ, I must be thinking about someone's soul in every interaction. As soon as we meet someone new, as soon as we meet someone that we've never met before, we have to be thinking about that person's soul. We have to be thinking, in this interaction, what am I going to do in this interaction that's going to either bring me further away from an opportunity to share the gospel with them or bring me closer to an opportunity to share the gospel with this person? We ought to be thinking to ourselves, you know, I wonder if that person's a Christian. How am I going to find out if they're a Christian? What questions am I going to ask? Or what am I going to say? We need to kind of prepare ourselves with these questions so that we can in turn prepare answers for these so that we become natural when we're conversing with these people for the first time. 1 Corinthians 9, chapters 19 through 23. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers of it with you. You see here, Paul's mindset towards those outside of Christ was that he was going to do whatever it took to bring those souls to Christ. He was going to become whatever it is he had to become to try to best win that person's soul. And you know what? I'm sure Paul probably had to make some sacrifices in doing some of these things, right? I'm not talking about doctrinal sacrifices or anything like that, but I'm sure there are some things that Paul did that he probably didn't really want to do, that he probably would have preferred to do something else. But in order to win that person's soul, Paul went the extra mile and did what was required to be able to gain a better relationship, to be able to connect with that person better, to gain that person's soul. So do we do the same thing? Do we go the extra mile? Do we maybe get out of our comfort zone a little bit sometimes in order to try to better win someone's soul? Maybe we're driving a coworker and we're carpooling, we're driving a coworker in the car, and you know, maybe someone cuts you off in traffic. And maybe you normally just blare on the horn and you really yell at them and stuff like that. But are we going to do that with that non-Christian friend in the car? Or are they going to think, you know what? If an opportunity comes up to study with that person, I don't know if I want to study with that guy. because that's not the sort of person that I want to be. Could we lose out on an opportunity to study with someone just because we lost our temper in front of that person? Or maybe we go to dinner with a friend. Maybe we're at dinner and we're having a good time, but, you know, we placed our order like 20 minutes ago and we just haven't gotten our food yet and the waitress is just not helping us. Are we going to show kindness in that case in front of our friend who's a non-Christian by showing patience, by showing love? Or are we going to cause a scene, start complaining, start saying hateful things about the waitress and the staff and, oh, it's just a, can't believe that they're making us wait that long? Then when it comes the time to talk to your friend about spiritual things, they're like, you know, I'm good. I don't know if I want to talk about those things with you because I see the kind of person that you are. Or maybe if we're on social media, I know a number of us are on Facebook or Instagram, various social media outlets and things. Are we asking ourselves, does this post that I'm about to make build up? Does it uplift? If I have non-Christian friends that are seeing this post, or if I have non-Christian friends that are seeing some of the comments that I write on another post, what are they going to think? What are they going to think of me if they happen to encounter these things that I've written? Am I doing benefit towards trying to get people closer to Christ who are outside Christ by the things that I put on social media? Or am I perhaps driving people further away from an opportunity to talk to me about the gospel? Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Moving on to point number two. Point number two. In order to best win souls, I must talk about spiritual things with your non-Christian friends. In order to best win souls, I must talk about spiritual things with my non-Christian friends. 1 Peter 3, verses 14 through 16. 1 Peter 3, 14 through 16. "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. And when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." So there are two things that I want you to take away from this passage. Two questions that I think we need to be asking ourselves after we read that. The first question is, am I living my life in a way that is going to spur someone to ask me about the hope that is in me? Am I living my life in a way that when they see me, they say, you know what? I like that guy. There's a phrase that we use sometimes, right? Maybe if we see someone who's really joyful and happy and stuff, they say, I'll have what he's having, or I want what he's having, right? Are we living our life in such a way to where when someone sees us, they say, I want what he's having? And then that can spur us to talking about the hope that is in us. And you know what? This passage that we just read, this passage is in the context of pain and suffering, is it not? Pain and suffering is challenging. It's hard. It's hard to go through these things. But sometimes when we're going through these things, it presents us as Christians an opportunity to show the world the things that are the most important in our life. To show them that even in the midst of these pains and these struggles and everything that we're going through, I can still have hope. Because my hope is in Christ. Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is not in my physical abilities, my ability to go and run a mile anymore or anything. My hope is in Christ. And in that alone, if that is the only thing that I can stand on, that I will stand on and that I will proclaim. I can still have joy because of what Jesus did for me. And secondly, the second thing we notice is we need to prepare ourselves. We need to be prepared for the answer that we're going to give people, right? We can't just be going along and someone asks us, hey, what's the reason for the hope that's in you? And say, well, I don't know, right? We need to prepare that answer that we're going to give beforehand. If we're going through these hardships, if we're going through these sufferings, and someone says, you know, I've seen you going through all these difficulties and things, but you're still just so joyful and you're still just such an amazing person. How are you able to do that? I encourage you to not say, well, it's just kind of always been how I've been. It's just how I am. Instead of that, prepare a Christ-centered response of, you know what? I couldn't do it without Jesus. I couldn't do it without my relationship with the Lord. I am in the Word. I am studying, and the words that I'm reading give me so much comfort. And Jesus alone is my reason for the way that I am. It's not because of just some personality that I was born with. It's not because I had great parents or anything. Those are all true. But my main reason is because of Jesus and what Jesus does for me every day. We need to prepare ourselves with the answer of answering for what is the hope that lies within us. There are some people that are really good at just mixing in these sort of conversations. That maybe you'll be walking down the road with a friend or something, and it'll be a really nice day out, and they'll just be looking around at the weather, and they say, you know what, it is such a beautiful day today. The Lord has blessed us so richly with this day. Just working in those spiritual conversations into your everyday conversations and interactions with other people. Or maybe you're going to the store and you see someone there you haven't met before, and maybe that person is wearing a cross around their neck, or maybe they have a tattoo with a scripture reading on it or something, and say, hey, I saw the cross around your neck, or I saw that scripture there. What does that mean to you? Are you a disciple of Jesus? You know, I've been thinking about that question a lot. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Are you one? You know, I'd love to get together with you and we could look at that together and have a little study. Would you be interested in doing that? There are some people that are just so natural, and we can learn a lot from those sorts of interactions. Maybe you're at the store, and maybe the store clerk asks us what our plans for the weekend are. And in the past, I've usually kind of just focused on Saturdays. I don't know about y'all. It's like, oh, I'm watching the football game on Saturday, or I'm going fishing on Saturday, or my kid has a soccer game on Saturday, whatever it is, right? Maybe instead of focusing on those things, let's focus on the Lord's Day. Let's focus, you know, Saturday I'm doing a couple things, but the day I'm most excited about is Sunday. I just can't wait to be back with my brothers and sisters in Christ, worshiping the Lord on the first day of the week, and I'm preparing a class that I'm teaching. I'm teaching a men's class. I'm teaching a women's class. I'm preparing these things right now, and I'm just really excited to be able to share these things because God is just so good, and I cannot wait to be able to get there on Sunday to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what? I would love for you to come with me. Would you want to do that? These create natural opportunities when we're starting to talk about these things in our conversations. Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2, starting in verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and the glory of God the Father. Finally, our last point. In order to best win souls, I must make the move to study. So recounting one more time, all three. In order to best win souls, I must be thinking about that person's soul at every interaction. I must talk about spiritual things with that person. And finally, I must make the move to study. I don't know about y'all, but there are many times when I have relationships with people where I do the first one. I'm thinking about that person's soul the whole time. I do the second one, maybe not so well, but I do it a little bit. I try to bring up that we're going to church. I try to bring up that, try to ask questions about spiritual conversations and things. But sometimes I just never make the move to study. And if we get the first two, but we don't move to the third one, this is critical. We have to make that move to study, that last move. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And also Mark 16, 15 through 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Do we believe those verses? Do we believe what those verses say? Do we believe that we should be preaching the word, teaching others? And do we believe what the Bible says? That in order to go to heaven, in order to be with the Lord, in order to be in a relationship with Him, Jesus is the only way. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And John 10. I am the door. No one can enter my rest unless they go through me. Do we believe those verses? And do we love someone enough to show them the door? To sit down and have a study with them, to show them, this is what the Bible says. I love you so much. I want us to work together with the Lord. Do we love someone enough? Do we love the store clerk enough? Do we love the crossing guard enough? Do we love the person on the street enough to share the gospel with them and to make them move the study? These words aren't just written to people that have been to preacher camp or been to preacher college. Not just written to elders. They're not just written to deacons. These words are written to us all. Every single one of us needs to be prepared and ready. Because you know what? There are many people in our lives that we know, that we're close with, that there's no one in a better position to share the gospel with them than you. You are the ideal person to share the gospel with many people in your life. same as me. So let's get to work. Let's take this door that the Lord has opened for us. Let's take advantage of these opportunities and these times. Capitalize on this uptick, on these people that are searching. And let's get out there and share the gospel with the lost. Really quick, we're not going to go through all of these scriptures together this morning. But when we make the move to study, there are certain requirements that we have to have of ourselves. There are certain preparations that we have to do before we make the move to study. Making the move to study requires preparation. It requires knowledge of what we're talking about. We can't just show up one day and just hope that everything just flows through us, right? It requires knowledge of what we're talking about. It requires courage. Sometimes it's scary to be able to make that move to study, right? But we need to take courage. There are so many verses about taking courage in the Lord in the Bible. We need to live by these verses, and we need to be courageous. It requires patience. Sometimes it can be very hard to maintain your patience when you're studying with somebody. But that's what the scriptures tell us to do. And finally, it requires love. Do we love that person enough to make the move to study with them? There's a hymn that I grew up singing. I'm not sure if you all sing it here. It's called The World's Bible. But I feel like these words really convey what we're talking about this morning. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message he gave in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? So, brethren, let's get to work. Let's take advantage of this opportunity that God has given to us. Let us go through that door that the Lord has opened. Because we have hope, let us speak with boldness, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3 and 12. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're coming back to church. Maybe you're one that you've been looking at these things and you've been looking at the world today. And maybe this is your first time back in a church building. And we welcome you. We are so glad that you are here this morning. If we can encourage you, if we can pray for you, if we can help you, we would love to do that for you this morning. Or perhaps you're here and you realize that you need to be added to the Lord's church, that you need to be baptized into Christ and obey the gospel. We would love to be able to help you with that this morning as well. We would be thrilled to help you. Acts 2 tells us that after we repent of our sins, we are baptized in water for the remission of our sins, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Lord adds us to a church, his church at that point. Or if you're here and you need the prayers of the church, if you need the prayers of the elders, if you need the help of the congregation, we'd be more than happy to help you with that as well. If you have any needs, please do not leave this building without making them known. God bless you all.